I want to leave with you two texts of Scripture this morning. Psalm 23, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then John chapter 10 and the verse 11, which is the main text before us. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." But this morning we want to think about what kind of shepherd he is. We want to know what he's like. We want to see his heart. And that's what I want to focus on today. What is our shepherd like? We need to know him. We need to have confidence in him. And to have confidence in him, we need to be acquainted with his heart. Now, as sheep in this world, we are fairly exposed to the elements of this world. And as sheep, we're vulnerable. As sheep in the world, in the midst of a dark, perverse world, we are exposed to the wolves, to the lions, the roaring lions. We're surrounded by the ungodly. And as well as that, we are very silly sheep. We stray. We just seem to find gaps in the hedge and go through them and wander off from God. I don't say that in any kind of amusing way this morning. I don't want you to think that that's trivial when I say that. I'm dead in earnest. Every one of us is prone to wander. I put it bluntly, we sin, we fail, we're overcome at times, and we need to be assured of the kind of shepherd that our Lord Jesus Christ is, and how he will react and respond to us, especially in the times of strain. The Lord tells us here the kind of shepherd that he is, the good shepherd. He is called other things in the Scriptures in relation to his office of shepherd. Paul calls him the great shepherd. Peter calls him the chief shepherd. And those are wonderful titles, they're great titles. But as wonderful and as important as those titles are, we still feel they are insufficient of themselves to adequately describe to us our shepherd. They come short in some way. Yes, our Lord is great. He's greater than all other shepherds. He's chief. He's above all shepherds. He's the first and the foremost shepherd. And it's vital to know that. We're not to look to anybody else but to the chief shepherd. But those descriptions don't get to his heart. They tell us he is the primary shepherd, but they don't let us see the nature of his heart. But in our text this morning, the Lord is telling us what kind of shepherd he is. He's telling us the nature of his heart. He's opening up his breast and he's allowing us, the sheep, to look into his soul, to be comforted and to be assured. And he's saying, "I am the good shepherd." You have maybe gone astray. You have sinned. You've failed. You've let the Lord down. Maybe this week, maybe this very week that has taken place, you've fallen. You've sinned. Maybe you're like a poor, timid, feeble sheep today, and you're feeling your frailty and your sinfulness. And you're feeling yourself poor and needy. I think we all should feel that. We shouldn't be proud sheep. We shouldn't be sheep that think we don't need the shepherd and we can do without him. We shouldn't be going up with our heads lifted up in the air as if we are arrogant and proud. No, we are to be humble, and we are to feel our poverty and our poorness. And if we don't, the Lord will make us to feel it in one way or another in days to come. But when we do feel poor and needy, he shows us his heart. He reveals to us his nature. He tells us he is the kind of shepherd that we just need. So the great, the chief shepherd, is also the good shepherd. That's just what we need to hear today, isn't it? And the Lord knows that. The Lord knows that we need to hear this. And so he's telling us this. I am the good shepherd. So if you ask me which is the best of the three titles, I will say they're all very precious. But the best is the confession of his own mouth. He does not say, I am the great shepherd. He does not say, I am the chief shepherd. But he tells us he's good. And so he is. And I want you to write that on your heart today, child of God. I want you to be impressed with this truth. I want you to carry these words in your soul in a way that you have not done here before. I want you to cease your doubts of your dear Lord. I want you to put away your slavish fears and your slavish dread concerning him. And I want you to see into his heart and to listen to the words of his voice with true faith. And I want you to carry home the fullness of assurance that he will be to you the good shepherd. The good shepherd. I think David had this description in mind when he wrote Psalm 23. I don't think he was thinking about the great shepherd or the chief shepherd. That was there in the back of his mind, and those truths can't be denied. But I really think he was focusing on this. He's the good shepherd. He knew the Lord was great and chief. But his psalm, Psalm 23, primarily describes him as good. And the six verses bring to prominence the Lord's goodness, his kindness, his love, his cure. Psalm 23 is probably the most well-known portion of God's word. It's the one that's sung very regularly, even in places where psalms are not sung. It's a lovely psalm. It's beautiful. And it's all testifying to the goodness of him who will never allow his sheep to want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's impossible for me to want because he's good. He's not bad. He's good. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, because he's good, you see. He leads me beside the still waters, no other waters, the still waters, the provision of the grass, the provision of the water, the deep still waters of his grace. He's good. That's where he leads me. When I fall, when I stray, when I'm broken, when I sin, when I get down, he restores my soul, you see, because he's the good shepherd. He leads me in the paths of righteousness because he's good. And he does it for his own name's sake, not for my worthiness' sake, not for anything about me, but just for his own name's sake, because he's good. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I need not fear. Because he's there, and he's good. And his rod and staff, which I have continually witnessed throughout all my life, they're still there present for me. He's good. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, when he says here, I am the good shepherd. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I'm the one in Psalm 23. That's me. And so it is. The Lord Jesus is my shepherd. And as we think about this heartwarming description that our Lord gives of himself, I am the good shepherd, allow me please to point out several things still by way of introduction. We don't have to race through this morning, I don't think. We can linger at the shepherd's feet, but we want to carefully examine the words, because it's only the words that will edify us. And if we need time to continue, we will do so on another occasion. The pronoun is emphatic. I am the good shepherd. Literally, I am the good shepherd. In that he is emphatic in the use of the pronoun, he is telling us what Peter and Paul tell us. The chief shepherd, the great shepherd, I am. So in that expression is found his greatness, his primacy above all other shepherds, his preeminence and prominence above every other. He emphatically is the shepherd, and he is the good shepherd. I alone, I chiefly, I greatly. And also this expression, I am, is prominent in John's gospel. Now you will know that, people of God, because you're familiar with the gospel of John. And John, who has heard these words of Jesus, and who writes them down and records them for us, he has picked up on the Lord's frequent use of I am. He's picked up on it. Maybe at the time he didn't think so much about it, but whenever he came to write the gospel and after the Lord's ascension, all these things came back to him, and he was recognizing and remembering that the Lord was always using this expression, I am. John's not inventing this. He's only noting it down and recording it. Christ's use of it is an affirmation of his divine sonship. I am. You remember how God came to Moses in the bush and how God said to Moses, I am. I am that I am. Who will say, sent me, Lord? Say, I am, have sent you. And so Jesus, he comes into the world. He appears among men. And he manifests his equality with the Father. And he gives testimony to his supreme deity by using this expression, I am. I am the bread of life, he says. That's me. He that comes to me shall never hunger. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. He's the light. He's the divine light. He's the heavenly bread that came down from above for the life of the world. I am, he says, from above. I am not of this world. He said to them, you shall die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. He's always saying this, I am, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. This is John's noting these occasions. I am the door, we've read in this chapter 10. I am the Son of God, he says on another occasion. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. And this morning we see that he says, I am the good shepherd. And so he is indeed that great shepherd, and he is indeed that chief shepherd, the Lord who is our shepherd, because he says, I am. And his use of that is an indication of his supreme deity. Then the definite article occurs. I am the good shepherd. Not merely a good shepherd among others. And we trust that the under shepherds are good too, but they're not as good as this shepherd. There's only one good shepherd, the good shepherd. The definite article in actual fact occurs twice. It literally is, I am the shepherd, the good one. The only good one. The supremely good one. The solitary good shepherd is Jesus Christ, and there is no one else. There's no one near to him. There's no one to compare him with. He's the one that we are to look to. He's the one that we believe in and trust. He's the one that we follow, and we pray to, and we cry to, and we come to for the forgiveness of all our sins. The shepherd, the good. I also point out that the Lord says it twice. You will notice that. Verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. And then in verse 14, he says the exact same words. I am the good shepherd. Don't you love the word of God? Every word. Even the repeated word. And if it's repeated, there's a reason for it to be repeated. The exact same words, verse 11 and verse 4, the same emphatic pronoun, the same double use of the definite article, exactly the same. And twice, not once, but twice, our Lord Jesus Christ must say, I am the shepherd, the good one. Now, why does he do that? It is for your comfort, for your assurance. It is a double promise, a double witness. You know, in an ideal and perfect world, you would only have to say things once. And if we were perfect Christians with perfect minds and perfect hearts and no sin, once would be enough. But you see, we're very far from being perfect. You know what kind of sheep we are? We're sheep that don't listen. We're sheep that get distracted and do other things and not listening to the word the way we should be. That's the kind of sheep we are. We're sheep who just don't take things in. We're like children in class. You tell them a story and then you quiz them and they've missed things. They've missed so many things. And if you quiz them in a few weeks' time, they nearly seem to have forgotten it all. We're all the same. We're poor, feeble, forgetful, perhaps even unruly sheep. And we need reminded. We need to be told again and again and again. And that's why the Lord repeats this. You need to listen. He says it again. I am the good shepherd. If you didn't hear it the first time, you need to hear it the second time. He also knows that we are sometimes filled with unbelief and that our faith wavers. Yes, we know the text. We've memorized the words. I am the good shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 11, the Bible says it. Yes, we know the text, but he knows that we don't feel too confident at times. We don't feel too assured at times. We don't feel too comforted at times, especially when we sin and stray and do wrong. Whenever we think he doesn't love us anymore, whenever the devil comes and turns our life upside down and our world upside down and begins to say to us, has God said? Has God said? Do you think he means that? We begin to question and doubt and begin to wonder, can it be true? Can it be right? Ah, look at you now, Satan will say. Do you think he cares for you now? Do you think Jesus loves you now? Now that you've done that? Look at how far you've strayed for him. Do you think he loves you now? Look at your sinful heart. Just look at your heart. Do you think he loves you? Do you think he cares for you? And so the devil has a field day with us many a time. He will never tell us the Lord Jesus is a bad shepherd. He would never say that. He's not so daring as to say that. He just hints and insinuates it and says, well, he couldn't be a good shepherd to you. Just look at you. Just look at your heart. Just look at your life. Oh, yes, he's a good shepherd to other Christians. He's a good shepherd to better Christians. But to you. And there's a battle, you see, isn't there? There's a strife that goes on in us. Imagine the field day that the devil could have been having in Peter's life after his denial of his Lord. I'm sure he didn't have Peter focusing on John chapter 10, verse 11. I'm sure he had Peter all inward, all looking at his heart, all focusing on the baseness of his own soul. That's how the devil works, you know. Focus on your baseness. Focus on your depravity. Listen. Just listen, will you? Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Jesus says it. That's why the Lord repeats this. Because he knows the kind of foe Satan is. And he knows how easily we are overcome by unbelief. He wants us to know not what kind of sheep we are. We're all the same. We're all poor, feeble, sinful, failing sheep with hearts prone to wander. The Lord doesn't want us to focus on the kind of sheep we are. Child of God, this day, the Lord wants you to focus on the kind of shepherd he is. That's what he wants you to focus on. Not how bad you are. And you're very bad, as I am. But how good he is. That's our focus. And so I want you to consider him. Not yourself. Not the kind of sheep you are. But the kind of shepherd he is. He says it twice, and he wants you to listen to him. He wants you to understand and take in this precious truth, to let the words doubled sink down into your heart as pure honey to your soul. What did Paul say? That I might know him. And you should be saying it too, that I might know him. And as you say it, that I might know him, this is what Jesus says. I am the good shepherd. Know me. I know you because I know all my sheep. But do you know me? I want you to know me. I want you to know all about me. The issue is not the knowledge of ourselves this morning. The issue is, do you know me? And in order to know him, he tells us, I'm good. I'm the good shepherd. Verses 11 through to 14 is the text before us. You will notice that these words are carefully arranged, verses 11 through to 14. The paragraph is enclosed by the phrase, I am the good shepherd, verse 11 and verse 14. It is an interesting paragraph. You see, there is this bracketing of it, by the phrase, I am the good shepherd. And then attached to it is a statement of something that shows that he is good. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then in verse 14, in closing the paragraph at the other end, the statement that he's a good shepherd, and then something that's good about the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. So there's a statement attached to each clause, just telling us how good he is. And this acts as a kind of a bookend to this paragraph. And in between, we have verses 12 and 13. And what are verses 12 and 13 about? The hireling. Verses 12 and 13 are about the hireling. He's another kind of shepherd. Do you see that? He's the bad shepherd. The hireling is the bad shepherd. In fact, the hireling is no shepherd at all. He pretends to be a shepherd. Verses 12 and 13. He that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. So you see how the Lord encloses that. I'm the good shepherd. Then he goes to talk about the hireling, what he's like. And then he encloses it again with, I'm the good shepherd. He's comparing himself to the bad shepherd. So the Lord is bringing out this remarkable contrast. And in this contrast, he's highlighting all the more how good he is, the good shepherd. And Christ is the opposite of the hireling. He is the antithesis of the hireling, the total contrary, the very reverse of the hireling. He's the good shepherd. Now, the devil would want to paint Jesus as a hireling. And you may think about Jesus in a way that you are imputing to him he's a hireling. Though you will never say he's a hireling, but because of your unbelief and the doubts and the way you are behaving, you are living as if he is a hireling. In your fears and in your dread and in all your unbelief. That's not to have faith in Jesus. Christ is the opposite of the hireling. And he wants us to know what a hireling is. And he gives two verses to it. And so we have to weigh it up and consider it. We'll not know how good a shepherd Jesus is until we know what a hireling is like. First of all, then, let us consider what a good shepherd is not. What's the big thing about the hireling? What's emphasized in verses 12 and 13? What's repeated? You have to study every word very carefully. See what's repeated. See what's highlighted. See what's put in the center. To me, the thing that stands out about the hireling is he flees. He goes. He flees. This is the emphasized thing. Verse 12 at the end, leaveth the sheep and fleeth. Verse 13, the hireling fleeth. He fleeth. And what does fleeing mean? This twice stated verb, flees. Fleeing is identified with the false shepherd, with the no shepherd. Off he goes. That means he leaves the sheep. But he leaves the sheep in a way of fleeing. You see, leaving the sheep may be necessary at times. Even the shepherd may have to do that at times. Sometimes the shepherd has to go away. Yes, and we know that Jesus had to go away. But he never fled away. He promised, even when he had to go away, he promised not to leave them orphans. He promised to leave them with his Holy Spirit. He promised to give them his Comforter, even when he had to go away. but he is still with his sheep by his Holy Spirit. And so he doesn't leave the sheep the way the hireling does. The hireling's leaving is fleeing. Very different. And that's what the Lord is saying here about the bad shepherd. He flees. The Lord tells us why the hireling flees. At the root of the problem is this fact. The sheep are not his. They're not his sheep. He has no attachment to them. They're not upon his heart. He has no love for them. He has no care for them. What does Jesus say? Whose own the sheep are not. Verse 13, careth not for the sheep. He has no love for them. Consequently, when trouble comes, when the wolf appears, off he goes. Off he goes. He doesn't care. The bad shepherd doesn't care. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. I know my sheep. And that means he cares for them. He loves them. And they're his as well. They're my sheep. He has an attachment to them. And so the consequences of this hireling having no care, we are told. Off he goes, and the consequences of his going off in his carelessness is what? The Lord graphically pictures to us the consequences. The wolf catches the sheep and scatters the sheep. And that means that there's a total destruction. With the bad shepherd. The wolf catcheth them, the rest are all scattered. It's total devastation. And the hireling doesn't come back because he doesn't care. He knows all this is going on as he goes away. He knows all this is going on. He's left them to the wolf, and the wolf is coming in and making havoc. He knows they're scattering off in every direction. And off he goes, and he doesn't care, and he never looks back. He never looks back. That's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. I am the good shepherd. He probably goes off saying, now they're stupid sheep anyway and they deserve it. And they don't even deserve a shepherd. And nobody would be bothered with them. And anybody, who would anyway even care for them? And off he goes and that's it. And off he goes and he's a hireling and he'll get a job somewhere else. Brethren and sisters, this is not Jesus. It is in this context that he says, I am the good shepherd. So you are his sheep. You belong to him. You come to him. You believe in him. You cling to him. You seek his mercy and his grace. And you belong to him. And he tells you, he cares for you. He tells you, I am not a hireling. You can cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Don't take him for a hireling. Do you remember that day in the boat in the storm? He's asleep in the boat. The good shepherd. There he is. And the sheep are with him. But there's a storm in their lives. And they're being shaken up and down. And the devil's making a havoc of their boat. They're agitated. They're disturbed. They're distraught. And they come to the Master and they say, do you not care that we perish? You know what they're saying? You're saying, Lord, you're a hireling, Lord. Do you not care? Are you? You're acting like a hireling. Never think the Lord doesn't care. Because you impute to him being a hireling when you think that. He cares. He careth for you. He sees the wolf coming. He warns us of the wolf. He doesn't run away. He warns us of the wolf. He says, beware of wolves. Beware of the roaring lion that goes about. Be vigilant. Be watchful as he is. And he deals with the wolf and with the bear. And even should the very fearful Leviathan himself come out of the deep to assault our souls, so that we face to face the great monster himself and know not where to turn, he doesn't run away. He's still there. The Good Shepherd. He will never leave you or desert you. He will never flee from his flock. Unthinkable, impossible. He's the Good Shepherd. He's pictured by David. You know that David was a shepherd, of course, and he knew what he was writing about when he wrote Psalm 23. And David was a good shepherd, if not the good shepherd. There came a lion and a bear, he says. He took a lamb out of the flock, he says. Do you know what your servant did? He didn't flee. He said, I slew both the lion and the bear. And this Leviathan, this Philistine, this Goliath, this giant who's coming against the flock of God, he'll just be the same. I'll just deal with him the same way, this giant. That's the kind of shepherd he is. He's the good shepherd. And therefore, trust in him at all times. Rest yourself in him. Cast all your care upon him. And in the storm and in the assault, trust in the Lord. Let us pray.